Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Well, hello. It's great to see you. Or as I say in Guatemala, buenos dias. It was a fantastic trip. We saw God move. We saw God do great things. God also stretched us, challenged us, and we all stood up to the challenge to what they asked us to do. And I want to invite Aaliyah to come on up as she's going to kind of give a bit of a testimony of how God moved in her life during that time. And then she also made a slideshow, which was fantastic too. So we get to watch that as well. But yeah, let's give her a round of applause.
Hi everyone. I think for me, a common theme that was repeated throughout the trip for me was being amazed. I went into it with like a totally open heart, ready to experience everything to the fullest, and I feel like that's exactly what I did. I was so amazed by absolutely everything. The people there were so hospitable. We walked through the street and you could say hi to everyone. And I feel like I carried that through even like to the airport. I started saying hi to everyone, even though people kind of just walked past like, what are you doing? But yeah, it was just so wonderful to experience all of that. My favorite part personally was the kids ministry stuff. We got to do a lot of VBS work. And for me, that was just so much fun. I love being in kids ministry. I serve here in Todd Zone and the older kids room. So yeah, being able to experience that in Guatemala was really awesome. The kids were just so energetic and so like happy. I really fed off of them. There was one day I was sleeping on the way to kids ministry. Mark has a video of that. And then as soon as we got to the school, I was just full of energy because the kids were just running up to us, jumping on us, hugging us, not letting us go. And yeah, it was just so much fun seeing them so joyful and like passionate about worship and the games and each other. It was so amazing to see. I didn't want to leave them. I could have stayed forever. But I can't wait to go again. As soon as they announce another trip, I will be the first person to sign up again. And yeah, I hope to see more people come as well. This is just an amazing experience. So yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaliyah. It's also, Aaliyah had to lead the craft in the VBS, and she did a fantastic job. Same with Benjamin leading the games. Definitely outside their comfort zone, but man, they stepped up to the plate. So we're going to play a video. Aaliyah made a slideshow for us, kind of what we experienced and what we saw. So why don't we go to that video? The funny story about the turtle that you saw is, and there's a, when we went into our hotel, we dropped off our stuff, so me and Benjamin were sharing a room. I basically went into the bathroom, and me and Benjamin didn't notice this turtle at all. And then I come out of the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, I saw the turtle. I'm like, oh, that's really cool decor. And then it moved. And I'm like, that's not decor. Yeah. So it was they actually had two turtles in that hotel in Antigua. But anyway, so over the summer, we've been going through this series of hidden gems, sort of taking a look at people in the Bible who we may overlook. Today, I feel like my story is a bit cheating, but it's okay because Jesus is the main story and these four men still play a supporting role. So it works. But if you've read the Gospels, you definitely do know this story. But when we're in Guatemala, the one thing is when we landed in Guatemala City, we spent the night there, and then we spent the next morning kind of looking over, exploring Guatemala City, and the guides sort of talked to us about the corruption, the political corruption that's in the area, but also the spiritualness of it. The interesting thing about Guatemala is that even though it is predominantly Catholic, it's mixed with paganism as well, because when the Spanish came over and conquered, they said to the Mayans at the time that basically you have to believe in our God or we'll kill you. And so that's why, and also the Mayans were very polytheistic, so they're kind of like, this was easy. It's easy for them to sort of accept that, but you also see a lot of paganism with Catholicism. I remember one church that we went to in Tactique, it was Chichim, and we went in and we saw Jesus on the cross, but then there was this big giant sign across his chest called the Corn God. And like it was just crazy, and you saw all these people on their knees walking up to this thing because they've been deceived. I was angry at how they have been deceived, but I was more compassionate to these people because they were wanting a miracle and they were believing and thinking that this is a thing that could answer it. And we just saw crazy things happening. But then the next day, we had to do a 4-hour trip to Tactique. I remember we got there around dinner time, so they basically just said, okay, just drop off your stuff in the room, and then we're going to go for a walk. Now, when I think of a walk, I think of something that is easy, something that you can wear sandals in, and walking is fine, right? Well, we went up this hill, and it was like, it wasn't like grass grind, but it was like steep. And I was like, I was not prepared for this at all. And people that definitely don't hike were struggling. But we got to the top, and Micah, if you want to go to the next slide. And I know it's a little, it's okay. But basically, we got to the top of this, and we looked over the town of Tactique. The missionary then kind of gave us a bit of an orientation and reminded us that we're not tourists going on this trip. We're actually missionaries. And he connected it to Luke 5 in the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. And he kind of challenged us that we are like the four friends praying for and caring for the people of Tactique, that we are supposed to be salt and light, to love the people. And as I said, in the week that we were in Tactique, we're also during a pagan festival. So we saw lots of crazy things happening. We went into the sinkhole to basically praise God, but to the left of us, we could see people sacrificing chickens and then putting smoke around themselves. And we weren't nervous at all or scared because, one, God is the one who's in control. Like, darkness has no control over God. God is the one. And I remember when we were praying in there, we all of it just went silent after a while. They just stopped doing it. We just felt the presence of God. It was a crazy thing. But when we see all these things, as I said, my reaction wasn't really anger. I think I was more shocked at what was going on, but my reaction was more compassion to these people because they've been deceived, thinking that these things could help them or help them. But the truth is, we see the same thing in our culture today. You know, Satan is a great deceiver. He disguises himself as light, but he draws people into darkness. And as Christians, we can't be naive about evil. We must be aware and pray against the dark forces that are present today. We don't just fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers that are at work. And we see the stronghold Satan has on people today, whether it's addiction, shame, or broken identity. That's why we must be like the four friends who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. We are called to bring people to Jesus so that they can find true life. Because while the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus says, I have come to give life and life to the fullest. So let's read Luke 5 from verses 17 to 26. As it says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles to the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and take up your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God, and they were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and all that you do. And I pray, God, that you would speak through me this morning. I pray you'd open our hearts for what you want us to teach us. And God, I just pray that we would be like the four friends. I pray that we would stop at nothing to bring our friends to Jesus, whether it's healing or whatever it is, God. We thank you for all that you do. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So this passage shows us that bold, persistent faith expressed through friendship can bring people to Jesus, where he meets their deepest needs with forgiveness and new life. So the first point we'll look at is that they brought their friend no matter the cost, from verses 17 to 19. So Jesus was in a house, and he was teaching, and the room was just overflowing. It was quite full. And Pharisees and the teachers of the law had come from all over to basically hear him. And this shows us how well-known Jesus has already become, that his fame has been spreading throughout. And everyone wanted to see and hear him, but not everyone kind of came with the right heart. The Pharisees were experts in the law, but the one thing they lacked was God's heart, which was mercy and grace. And they came, the Pharisees came and analyzed and critiqued while others were coming hungry for life. In the middle of the setting, these four men arrive carrying their paralyzed man. And their friend couldn't move on his own. He couldn't walk to Jesus, couldn't push through the crowd, couldn't get there without any help. And these men saw his need and made the decision to carry him. They believed that if they could just get him to Jesus, something could change. This kind of faith is active. It doesn't just feel sorry for someone. It steps in and does something. You know, imagine the challenge of that moment. The house is all already packed. Every doorway and window is blocked. Humanly speaking, it probably would have been easy to just stop right there. Many would have said, we tried, it's too crowded, maybe we'll come back tomorrow and try again. But these men were not willing to give up. They loved their friend too much to actually turn around. They carried him up on the roof, they tore it open, and they lowered him right in front of Jesus. Nothing was going to stop them from getting their friend to the one person who could actually meet their need. And here's the point. These men didn't just notice the problem, they acted on it. That's the difference between sympathy and compassion. Sympathy is, I feel bad for you. Compassion is, I will carry you. Real love takes responsibility. Real faith takes action. This is a challenge for us today. We are surrounded by people who need Jesus. People who are weighed down by addictions, shame, anxiety, fear, and brokenness. People who cannot walk to Jesus on their own. And they may not even realize it that they need him. They try to fill the void with money, relationships, success, pleasure, or even distractions. But none of these things satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy the hunger of the soul. Only Jesus offers living water where we never will go hungry or thirsty again. The question is, are we willing to carry them? Are we willing to step in when it's inconvenient? Are we willing to sacrifice time, energy, and comfort to bring those closer to Christ? Often it's easier to look away. It's easier to say that's not my problem. But the four men in this story show us a better way. They saw the need, they carried the weight, and they brought their friend to Jesus. And it kind of reminded me of Guatemala and the missionary that we worked with. So the missionary, his background was teaching. He was a vice principal in Kamloops. And then he went on a missions trip to Guatemala, and then he ended up eventually going over there himself. But when he started his missionary work, he basically went into education, and he started teaching them. And he basically went into Tactique, which is at the time when he was there, was the highest illiteracy rate in the country. But when he began to teach them and when he opened up the schools, he realized that there was something deeper. The children were having a hard time learning or paying attention or even just behavioral issues because they had empty stomachs. And he saw the need, and he responded by not ignoring it, but meeting it. And he began feeding the children one day a meal. So for those who were in their school programs, he would bring them a meal each day. And over time, because the Impact Ministries has been there for 25 years, over time, God has used that small act of compassion where you're kind of starting to see transformation in that community. Children grew up nourished, educated, and now many of them are leaders or even teachers themselves. We would hear testimony nights, and it would actually be teachers, and they said, I was in this program, and I met God, and it was just awesome. They're giving back because, you know, someone saw their need and carried them to a better future. Or even in one of the photos, Doug and Sandra, they have a sponsored kid who basically graduated the program a year ago, I think, and we actually got to meet them. And what he's doing now is he's in school, like in university, and he's learning medicine. He's in medicine so that when he graduates, he'll go back and he'll help out in that area. So you can kind of see the impact and what's happening there when you meet the need. And this is what the four friends did in Luke 5. They saw their friend suffering and they refused to ignore it. They carried him to Jesus even when it was hard, even when obstacles were in the way. They knew that only Jesus could meet his need. And because of their persistence, their friends experienced healing and forgiveness of their sins. So for us today, the question is simple. Who around us needs to be carried? Who has God placed in your lives that we cannot ignore? Who's waiting for us to bring them to Jesus in prayer, in conversations, and in love? Don't underestimate what God can do through you when you decide to carry someone else. The need is great, but our Savior is greater. Don't stop at sympathy. Step into compassion. Don't walk away when it gets hard. Find a way to keep bringing people to Jesus. The second point is that their faith caught Jesus' attention from verse 20. So in this passage, faith just isn't an inner attitude or private belief. Faith is something that you can actually see. Jesus didn't just hear about their faith, he saw it in action. These men believed Jesus could heal, and their belief drove them to act. They carried their friend, they climbed the roof, they tore it open, and they lowered him down. Their faith was visible in the lengths that they're willing to go for the sake of someone else. Faith is not just words, it is action. James reminds us that faith without works is dead. Faith is more than just saying, I believe God can do something. Real faith is stepping out, moving forward, and acting on that belief. If the four men had stopped at the door, their faith, their friend would have never been healed. If they had walked away, their faith would have been nothing more than, I think, good intentions. But because of their faith is expressed in action, their friend encountered Jesus. Faith often shows up in desperation. These men were desperate for their friends to be healed. They weren't going to stop at the first obstacle. Desperate faith presses through the barriers. Desperate faith refuses to quit. Desperate faith says, if I can just get to Jesus, everything will change. Jesus was moved by their faith. Not by how polished they look, not by how perfectly they said the right words. He was moved by their willingness to go to their friend and to get their friend to Jesus. And it's not about the size of your faith either. Jesus says that the faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. It's not the greatness of the faith, but the greatness of the one you put your faith in. Faith is active, it is not passive. It's not just sitting back and waiting for something to fall into your lap. A great example I could think of this is if you're looking for a new job or wanting a job, and you just wait and just hope that a job lands in your lap. That doesn't work that way, right? There's action on your part where you update your resume, you go out, and you apply. Faith is trust in God's expressed through action in our everyday lives. I was reminded of this in Guatemala when we would do home visits. So our group was small. We were the Magnificent Seven, so we partnered with another church during our time in Guatemala. And part of what we would do there is we'd go and visit sponsored children that what churches they'd have sponsored. And we'd go into these homes, and these homes would be so small, and there'd be like dirt on the ground. Their beds would just be like a blanket and cardboard under it. Like, it was just crazy. And there'd be like 24 of us going into this small space. But the crazy thing is that in this small, really, I'd say, shack, is six people would be living there. It would be like the grandma, the aunts, and whoever else. And by their standards, they had so little, and yet their faith was so strong. They believed that God was watching over them. They trusted that God would provide for their daily needs. And the joy in seeing their faces and how we would show up, because Guatemala is a very hospitable, like Aaliyah kind of alluded to it, like they're really relational. And they were so happy when we entered into their home. And they reminded me of how much I've been given and how blessed I am. They show me that faith is not about abundance, it's about trust. Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow. If God cares for the birds, how much more does he care for us? Their faith reminded me that God is not distant, he is near, he provides, and he sustains. Faith is not just personal, it can actually impact others. The faith of these four men played a role in their friend's healing. Our faith can open doors for people to encounter God. When we pray, when we live faithfully, when we love persistently, God uses that to draw others to himself. God's heart is that people will return to him. And he allows us to play a role in that by living out our faith. This doesn't mean God becomes like a genie answering every wish. Faith is not about bending God to our will. It's about trusting him, praying his will, and believing that his ways are higher than ours. Faith is about placing ourselves and others in the hands of Jesus and trusting him to do what only he can do. So where in your life right now is God asking you to put your faith into action instead of just keeping it as a belief in your heart? What would it practically look like this week to carry that mat for someone else through prayer, encouragement, or stepping in to help someone in need? The last point is that their faith opened the door for a miracle from verses 20 to 26. At the heart of the passage, it's not just about the healing of a body, but the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus looks at the paralyzed man, the first thing he says is, friend, your sins are forgiven. In that culture, people believed that suffering and sin were sort of intertwined. They were connected. If you're suffering, the assumption was that you must have sinned. But the story of Job reminds us that isn't true, because Job was a very righteous man, and yet he endured deep suffering. Suffering is not always caused by personal sin. Yet suffering exists because sin entered the world, bringing death, darkness, and brokenness into God's good creation. This is why Jesus begins with forgiveness. To the paralyzed man, forgiveness meant more than just healing. It meant hope, freedom, and restoration. Before the man could not believe that he was healed, he needed to know that his sins were dealt with. Jesus gives him more than he or his friends were even seeking. They came for physical healing, but Jesus offered spiritual wholeness first. This was shocking to the Pharisees because they knew only God could forgive sins. So when Jesus declared forgiveness, they considered it blasphemy. To them, this was slander against God and really deserving of death. But Jesus was not blaspheming. He was declaring his true identity as a son of God with the authority to forgive sins. To prove his authority, Jesus doesn't just speak, he acts. He tells the man to get up, take up his mat, and walk. And in an instant, the paralyzed man is healed. The visible healing proved the invisible reality that his sins have truly been forgiven. Jesus does not deny that only God can forgive sins. He demonstrates that he is God. All of this started because four men refused to give up. Their faith and persistence opened the door for their friend to encounter Jesus. The miracle began with ordinary people taking action to help someone else. In the same way, our faith can create opportunities for people to meet Jesus. Many of us are here today because someone prayed for us, invested in us, or invited us to meet Jesus. God used someone else's faith to bring us closer to him. Now he calls us to do the same for others. We are called to be like the four friends bringing people before Jesus in prayer, in faith, and in love. Our faith may be the spark that opens the door for someone else's miracle. When we step out in faith, God moves. Addictions can be broken. Prodigal sons can come home. Lives can be transformed. Breakthrough happens not because of our strength, but because of God's power. Augustine, in his Confessions, which is basically his autobiography of how he came to know God, speaks often of the faith of his mother, Monica. Augustine wandered far from God, went and did his own life, but Monica never gave up. She prayed persistently and believed that God would reach her son. In time, Augustine came to Christ, and he credited his mother's prayer as one of the key reasons for his transformation. Her faith and action became the doorway for God to do a miracle in his life. That's what the four friends did. They didn't quit when it got hard. They believed only Jesus could meet their friend's deepest need. And they did everything they could to lay him before the Savior. This is same for us. Don't give up on the people God has placed in your heart. Don't give up when the answer seems delayed. Keep believing, keep praying, keep bringing them to Jesus. Because Jesus is still the one who forgives, heals, and transforms today. So who in your life right now might need to experience the forgiveness and transformation of the power of Jesus? And how might God be calling you to be like the four friends to bring them to him? What is one specific step you could take this week through prayer, encouragement, or an invitation to help open the door for that person to encounter Jesus? So as we conclude, I just want to invite the worship team to come back up. So as you've seen in this passage, it isn't about four men carrying their friend. It's about faith that refuses to give up. It's about the Savior who forgives sins and brings new life. It's about the truth that when people are brought to Jesus, everything can change. Those four men carried their friend because they believed that Jesus was the only one who could meet his need. And when they placed him before the Lord, Jesus did far more than they imagined. He forgave, he healed, and he transformed. Maybe today you are like the paralyzed man. You've been carrying a weight facing something you cannot fix on your own. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's sin, maybe it's a burden of fear, shame, or brokenness. The good news is this. Jesus is here, and he still has the power to forgive, to heal, and to make you whole. Or maybe today you are like the four friends. God is calling you to stand in the gap for someone else, to carry someone in prayer, to believe for their healing, their salvation, or their breakthrough. Your faith can open the door for someone else to encounter Jesus. So today I want to invite you to respond, not just with words, but with actions. If you need healing, come to the altar. I believe God is a miracle worker and can heal. If you're carrying a heavy burden, come and lay it down at the feet of Jesus. If you're standing in the gap for someone else, come and bring their name before the Lord in faith. Just like the four men in Luke 5, sometimes faith looks like moving, stepping forward, and saying, I need Jesus. Don't hold back. Don't wait for tomorrow. The same Jesus who forgave and healed the paralyzed man is here right now. Come, receive prayer, receive healing, receive forgiveness. Step out in faith today and watch what God will do. God, we thank you for this day. God, you're a miracle worker. God, you change and transform. And I'm reminded of this in Guatemala and how just a missionary went, and we're seeing it, God. But God, we believe that you are working here in Ladner, in Canada. And we pray, God, that if people are in need of healing, that they would step forward, Jesus. Whatever it is, God, we lay it down at your feet, Lord. And in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.